These are their stories.
Welcome to another episode of Rap in Order. I'm First Class Reg.
I'm Torian B.
How we feeling today?
Good, man. Ready to, I'm excited for the episode for today. I'm very excited. It's a very, it's an important project to me that I, that's something that as I was researching this and like revisiting it and then going back to 96, like a lot of good memories. Stop looking at my notes.
I'm just looking.
Stay on my notes.
I got notes too. I'm just
stay
looking.
On my notes.
Know what I'm saying? So even before we get to that album, next weekend should be cool for you, right?
Going to WrestleMania 40 in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
My girl surprised me. And originally we were just gonna go to like the Lopin. So we were gonna go to SmackDown. NXT has a show on Saturday. Then Sunday we would have chilled, found a bar, watched WrestleMania somewhere. Then Monday is the Raw after WrestleMania.
Okay.
So she surprised me with that, right? And then she was like, ladies and gentlemen, like Sarah, like you don't half ass anything on Sarah. So she's like, fuck it, we're going to Mania. They got Klarna. We can just pay like, you know, an installment.
Yeah.
So we're gonna be in Philly.
Yeah. Man.
All right, fuck it. Like,
I mean, why not? Yeah. Shout out to Klarna.
Yeah, man. It's WrestleMania 40, so we going. I'm excited to see, like, The Rock is, like, really leaning into this final bullshit, so I'm excited.
Yeah, this nigga, what'd he do to Corey the other day?
He beat the shit out of Cody Rhodes.
Cody, sorry, yeah.
They had a segment where basically he whispered in his ass, what make you bleed? And then Cody was like, he made a promise he can't. End of the show came, The Rock beat the dog shit out of that nigga.
And had him like laying outside in the
ring. Yeah, like on some final bullshit. Yeah, like he.
But is he a successful heel right now? Like, I feel like people still love The Rock. Yeah.
I think it's like, you can't, he's so fit. It's like, people love Ric Flair.
Yeah.
But he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
So it's like that. Like, it's just that, like, now he's like a legacy act. So it's like, you know, it's nostalgia, your childhood, like, pretty much everybody in our age group growing up grew up watching the Attitude Era at some point.
Yeah.
Looking at him and Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I had the instrumental tape.
So, yeah. So it's just like, yeah, like, you know, you see The Rock as a heel, but you don't hate him. You kind of enjoy the shit that he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And like, all they're doing with Cody is recreating like the shit that his dad went through. His dad is like the pretty much the prototype for what a babyface is in wrestling. Like, it's like him, Ricky Steamboat, Hogan when he was a good guy. Or is a good guy at times. Like, there's like certain wrestlers like that, like the archetype. Like, they pretty much like always get their ass beat. Like, every like to the point of like fans like coming to tears and stuff like that. And with Cody, like, they're just doing it. So for some people, it's like it's boring. Like, all right, we get it. Like, Cody is Captain America. Like, you know, he stays after the matches and signs all the fans' autographs and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, in real life, most people aren't nice. Most
that's a fact.
You're like that.
So, yeah.
No, they like Cody.
You want to see the other side.
They like The Rock a lot more. And you know, the only thing I'm worried about is that The Rock is doing such a good job and he's so dominant that is taken away from like Roman, because it's like the night two is about Roman and Cody, but it feels like The Rock is taking all the air out of him.
And you know, The Rock, that's what he does. And I feel like The Rock only joins certain institutions or makes partnership with things under the conditions of being able to suck the air out the room. Like, that's what he wants to do.
Yeah, that's pretty much what he does.
Yeah.
Otherwise, let's see what happened this week. All right, so we gotta rip the Band-Aid off, right?
Don't stop.
Okay, the raid at Puff's multiple homes.
Okay.
What I found interesting is that we only really saw what happened in L.A. Because the Miami home
got raided
and the New York home got raided.
Yeah.
Like, so, I feel like, all right, I'm just going to say this overall. If he's guilty of all that shit, put him under the jail. But I do think that the stuff that the Little Rod producer guy put in those statements, I think he just said whatever he can to just ruin that man's life.
You don't think there was truth?
I think there was truth, but I think it was like they went overboard. All right, so let's take a prime example. Transporting drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, that's just like taking, like, when weed was illegal in every state, like, that's just like carrying weed to go to another state.
Yeah.
So let's say, like, people are, like, calling somebody a drug mule is extreme,
mm-hmm.
is all I'm saying. Okay, cool. Like, these people were taking coke to, you know, okay, these people in those areas, like, they do coke. So,
yeah.
Yo, make sure you bring some coke. So
yeah.
You don't got to call nobody.
Yeah.
That, right? I'm not saying that that's good and I'm not okay with that, but I just think that certain things were like heightened.
But did this white boy that they arrested, did they list the conditions under how he was transferring drugs? Like, what was he grabbing? Like,
I think, how much? I think he was just a connect. They just knew. They was like, that nigga was probably somebody. Yeah, the white boy, he played college basketball at Syracuse. Apparently, like, he was the person that, like, could get all the party favors. And he had all the connections. So I think that was just his job around him. And it's like, most celebrities, like, that's the case. Like, I'm not saying it's okay. I'm just saying that I think that Lil Rod was pissed off that Puff played him, didn't pay him properly, didn't give him placements on the album. He already sued Puff.
Mm-hmm.
He had to go fund me. And I think that after the Cassie thing, he saw like, oh shit, like I could actually get my money now.
Mm-hmm.
And fuck this dude. I'm going to ruin his life. And I think that's what happened and it's working. And most people believe the rumors about Puff because unfortunately Puff has had so many instances and run-ins where like he didn't do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
So people is just like, nobody feels sorry for him. And that's, you know, fine. But I don't believe that through all of this shit that Puff is this fucking crime boss. That's all I'm saying. I definitely believe that, you know what? He slept with some underage girls, which is the worst thing, right? I definitely believe that there's drugs involved and that he put his hands on one. Like, so that alone should get him in jail.
Yeah.
But the things that were like, they're saying like, you know, videotaping the blackmail people and stuff like that. Like, what I'm saying is just that, like, we'll find out more and more as the weeks come. But
I think anything further of speculation is just like conspiracy theorist talk. But I think there's a lot of truth.
Last thing.
Yeah.
Daphne Joy being a fucking sex worker.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she was a sex worker. I think that she was just down with the freak offs and sometimes Puff will hit her off for money. Like, damn, you did your thing last night, baby girl.
Yeah. But I think with shit like that, that's what makes it that, like, so in the court documents and shit like that, even if the transaction, quote unquote, is that loose,
mm-hmm.
where it's just like, yo, good shit today here. That's still a form of sex working.
Okay. And that's true. All right. So one thing did get debunked. Young Miami was not transporting pink cocaine because she was at New York Fashion Week and she had proof.
Oh, so she did. She presented that proof.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Like, I wasn't even there. I didn't attend. Like, wherever the thing is that they said that she attended to bring the pink cocaine. She's like, that day I was in New York the entire day. I didn't fly anywhere.
Mm. Okay.
I'm just, all I'm saying is that, yes, Diddy, like, I think a lot of people just want to, like, get money from Diddy. And that's fine because he probably owes people mad money. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's been known notoriously, like, for him, like, nah, I'm paying people.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, like, somebody like Mace, who's jumping up saying, like, that's why I left. I'm like, that's part of the reason why you left. There's so many other reasons why you left. And you came back and still got money. And Puff didn't take any money from you. For the money that he owed. He had whatever album deal. He left after two albums.
Yeah, but so. I think with Mace, it's like I give Mace, like I've been hard on Mace in the past, but I give him like a little bit of like I extend like an olive branch to him. It's like, yeah, for like
having the foresight,
one, leaving, and then some people give him slight like, oh, but you went back. And it's like, well, I think there's something to say or see about him leaving the first time and then going back, probably thinking that he can manage it better. Like, all right, that was overwhelming, but now I can go back and manage this because truthfully, I was probably getting more money in this situation than I'm getting now. So now that I know what I know, I can go back and I can have more foresight. I can kind of see things different. Yeah. But then hit the eject button again when you're like, well, yeah, nah, maybe I don't.
Yeah.
You know?
And okay, I understand that. And I think it's less about like what he rapped about with Gina. I don't care that he's rapped about guns and killing people and stuff like that. It's just that like he wanted to stay away from Puffin because he saw a lot of dark shit. A lot of people was dying around him and stuff like that. But I don't think he had that much foresight. I think he just got away from Puff because he figured, he was like, if something's going to happen. And he got fucking around. But I don't think he saw all of this happening or whatever like that. But
yeah, I don't think he saw all of this happening, but he knew something was happening around Diddy.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. So I don't know. And then also 50 Cent. I'm tired of 50 Cent.
What? Well, so I hate when he goes on his tangents and he does shit like, oh, you a sex worker, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yo, that's still your baby mom.
Yeah, like, like, I think, like, his childhood was so, like, traumatic and fucked up. I don't think that he realizes, like, because he doesn't know what it's like to, like, love a parent. Like, mm-hmm. I think that he doesn't realize, like, yo, like, your son loves his mother, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about somebody that your son loves, and you over here talking shit about her, then you expect your son to eventually come to that understanding that he probably won't come to till he's, like, 30.
Regardless of y'all's personal relationship.
Like, hold it down. Like,
yeah, you know, hold it down.
Hold it down, fifth. But also, the Queen blessed us with an album.
Yeah, she did. Very long fucking album.
It's a very long album, yeah. Like, because when it dropped, I played it as soon at midnight.
I did too, yeah.
I don't think I was done. It was like 1:30.
Mm-hmm. And I was in my bed. I was in my bed and it was just playing on my speaker. I was just kind of like listening to it. But
I did like her flip on Jolene.
Her flip on Jolene was dope. So I do think after listening to it, there are like the someone revealed out there that, and which I agree with, I think at this point, that the album is from the perspective of her mom or paying tribute to her mother.
Well, yeah, like on the album cover, she's wearing the sash that says "Be Nice." That's her mother's family last name.
Mm-hmm.
That's why her name is Beyonce and all of that stuff. I think that, you know, she's honoring like people in her life. So like the first one was, you know, Uncle Johnny,
mm-hmm.
and now she's honoring her mother. So I guess we're gonna get funk music for her pops.
Yeah.
Does she honor, or does she just or does she honor Hope?
I don't know if I would like that.
Like that?
Nah, I don't want that.
Say rap
out. Nah. I don't really like rapping Beyonce.
Well, do you remember how the album that you? Oh, see, I
a lot of people do.
Yeah.
A lot of people do. I'm not the biggest fan of rapping.
Did you pay attention to the ending of the album, like the last song?
Yeah, how it ends. I think you actually told me about it.
Danny Rock shit.
Yeah.
Tell me.
Yeah. So we'll get like a rock out. Yeah. I mean, but
I feel like we'll either get a rock album or we're going to get a funk album.
If it's a combination of that too, that'd be fire.
Yeah, like something. So it'll be like in like the vein of like Parliament, Rick James.
Yeah,
like that.
There's some Parliament nod.
Parliament, Rick James, some Prince. Like, yeah, like I would like that.
That's if that's something that she can tie into, because everything seems to the chest so far, like family.
Mm-hmm.
That's something she ties to her lineage and like puts it on another family member. That'd be dope.
Right.
Or even just does some shit with Solange.
I just feel like her pops is a fan of funk, so it just make all the sense.
Yeah. And it seems like I think they've reconciled. I know they was
still be around and shit. Yeah. Like, I think she got over him having a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, like that's like a
very.
Did we talk about Justin Timberlake's new album?
No, we didn't. I don't think.
Did you like it?
I like it. I don't know if I would revisit it that much. It's way more pop than I want it. But it's good.
I enjoyed it. Justin Timberlake makes solid albums. He's just not a good person.
Why do you say he's not a good person?
Come on, Rich. Look what he did to Janet Jackson.
Bro.
He left her hanging.
All right. But you gonna say, so if somebody holds you to a mistake that you made 20 years ago for the rest of your life and say you're still not a good person, how would that feel?
I hope he feels the way that Janet Jackson felt that day.
That's not a fair assessment. I mean, of course, us as a black community, we love Janet Jackson.
Stand by Janet.
I love Janet Jackson, right? Hey
girl,
today is actually the 20th anniversary of the Meet a Joe.
She should be getting honored way more than
she absolutely should. And I think I've seen him do over the years, like a bunch of interviews apologizing and stuff. And yeah, in that moment when shit happens, he could have stood in front of that fire for her and been like, yo, you know, but at the same time, he was an artist on the rise too. So he didn't really take his white privilege into account. He probably and was just like, yeah, I mean, they on her. Fuck it. Which is fucked up. But it was 20 years ago.
Right,
I'm just 20. I'm not going to say he's a bad person for something he did 20 years ago. That's kind of crazy.
Okay. Call me crazy.
It's kind of crazy. I can't do it. I don't know this nigga.
Call me crazy.
You know?
I mean, and then, you know, well, we're going to talk about that one in one of the promos, but, you know, we don't trust you and all this stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I'll get to the nitty gritty of that.
Yeah.
Let's get into this album.
Okay. So with one of the album that we're doing today, this gentleman is in one of the biggest rap crews of all time. One of the most recognizable logos of all time. And that's in any genre, just period. This guy, like, I always kind of champion him over the years for like his storytelling. He can be cartoonish in his approach, but like his storytelling is not like point A to point B all the time. And that's why I like it, because it's like, it's all over the place, but you can follow it because it's vivid. And then he stands out in his crew, even though he's not per se like the most lyrical. But him, the way that he puts songs together and the way that he's been able to blend R&B and hip hop with like the artists that he works with, I don't think a lot of artists are able to do. And I'm talking about Ghostface, Ghostface Killah, you know, and we're talking about Iron Man. That's the album that we're getting into
Dennis
today.
Cole.
Dennis what?
Dennis Cole.
Dennis Cole. Ah, yeah, yeah. Okay. So. It was released October 29th, 1996. Iron Man is Ghostface's debut solo album. It was produced entirely by RZA. Draws from Blaxploitation films and soul samples. The album peaked at number 2 on Billboard and was certified platinum. Critics have revered this as one of the greatest Wu-Tang solo albums of all time. It was led by singles All That I Got Is You, Daytona 500, and Motherless Child. What are your memories of this album? Did you visit it back then? I mean, 96 was a little crowded.
I did. I actually, the first I heard of this album, my cousin gave me it was a promotional cassette tape, and it had Motherless Child on one side, and on the other side, it had All That I Got Is You. So obviously, like at my age, like Motherless Child didn't like resonate, but All That I Got Is You, like was it was just like a beautiful song.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I remember I used to play that song, like, so I played it so much that the tape popped.
Mm.
Like, I don't know why, I just loved that song. It was a beautiful song. And then when the video came out, it just made it more vivid.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was great. So then when I finally got a chance to, like, check out the album, which was dope because my cousin worked at a record label. She actually worked for Razor Shark. And she would just come home and just bring me CDs and stuff. So I was able to, like, listen to this album. And I was just, like, it was, like, a sensory overload because, like, it was certain things that like I recognized from it. And I was like, oh shit. Like I heard this. I know this soul sample. I know this, like, you know, things like that. But like as a kid, I didn't know what soul samples were. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this is Al Green.
I know this sound.
Yeah, I know this sound. I know that sound. It was like a very like pivotal project to me. So, I just thought like Ghostface Killah was my favorite rapper from the group because his name was Ghostface Killah. That was number one.
Mm-hmm.
He had the coolest fucking name. Number two, I thought he was fly as hell. I thought like he dressed very well. And then like listening to his raps, like I don't know, like he has like a childlike charm to him the way
he does.
Like it's kind of like he raps like how like a teenager at that time would be explaining. I mean, he was like in his early 20s, but like mm-hmm. explaining himself, like you're not being clear, but it make mad sense to you and mm-hmm. your friends. Mm-hmm. So. A lot of his raps, like that's what it did for me early on. You know, Ghostface Killah, you know, how do I put it? Ghostface Killah is probably one of the most unique individuals to me because like I think that he didn't have a lot of confidence in himself early on in his career. And like it's like evident because like he didn't appear on that many songs on the first Wu-Tang album. The reason why he's on Only Built for Cuban Links because his confidence was down and Raekwon was like, yo, come on, like, do the album with me. And then, like, it was time for him to do his. And, like, he just was like, yo, I'm fuck. Like, I can't. He had so much respect for the dudes in his crew. He didn't even think that he could do it, like, or accomplish it. And he was going through a lot at this time. He was diagnosed with diabetes, the sugars. And then he, one of his best friends got 25 years of life in jail. So he was, like, suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, when this album got revisited, he revealed that like he was suffering through depression all throughout this. So he didn't enjoy any of the success. So imagine like you put out this project, people telling you like it's one of the best projects, like it's all this, and like he's like, yo, I was depressed. I don't even like listen to that. Mm-hmm. I was
such and a just take because it takes them back to that space.
Right.
Yeah. No, I was gonna say like for me back then, you know, like I said, 96 was pretty crowded. So like you had like a lot of albums that came out. Mm-hmm. Of course, I was familiar with Ghostface and with Wu, but I think the only songs that made it to me back then were All That I Got Is You, of course, Daytona 500. There's like a other select, oh, 260. I remember my brother playing that. And I always liked the storytelling on it. But yeah, like back then, it took me years and some intent to go look for this and to even look for Ghostface catalog. Cause yeah, I think just Wu as a collective, I didn't really explore their solos until late.
Yeah, it was kind of like you saw them before you heard them,
mm-hmm.
right? But
the only one that I heard in real time was Meth,
okay,
because he was the most
right, famous. He was the most popular, right, and he was on the biggest label.
Mm-hmm.
He was on Def Jam, right? But as far as like conceptual albums go, like this album is one of my favorite, and I think it also kind of developed me like really liking conceptual albums. And like following like a theme and like, you know, knowing like where like the artist is going, it helped me understand what was being talked about a little bit more.
Yeah.
So as far as like this goes, but one thing that I always like to like do sometimes with myself is like ask myself which one is better, like Only Built for Cuban Links or Iron Man. Cause I think that usually like they talk about three projects that are like the best projects from Wu-Tang. So it's Liquid Swords, Only Built for Cuban Links, and Iron Man, like, you know, and then some people like talk about ODB's debut or they talk about Method Man's debut. But like, to me, those three stand out. And for me, like Purple Tape is Purple Tape, but I revisit Liquid Swords the most of three.
Okay. I think for me, are you just talking about debuts
of the debuts?
Okay. It's Only Built for Cuban Links for me.
That I think that would be the majority answer. I feel like if we did like a poll online, like I feel like more people would say Only Built for Cuban Links, mm-hmm. than out of the three. But like what the GZA did on that project, like that was just, man, that like, cause it was just like a whole lot of, he basically like broke down a lot, and he's like very intelligent. So like him like taking that route, like him and RZA, I feel like him and RZA like knew, like, cause they cousins, like they were really going to like lock in and do that.
They really synced up for that.
Yeah. Like, and they show a lot of that stuff on the Wu-Tang show that's on Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
You said you only got through the first season, right?
Second season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The third season is pretty funny. Cause it shows like how their lives are, why they're famous. And it's pretty fucking funny.
I got to check it out. I'm going to definitely finish it.
But did you? Okay. Other question.
Mm-hmm.
The albums that came out in 96, like is this album at the top of it for you?
Nah, not at the top. It's in the highlights, but I got in 96, you got Reasonable Doubt, you got It Was Written, you got AT Aliens.
Tupac dropped two albums that year.
All Eyes on Me.
Machiavelli.
War. Yeah.
Hell on Earth by Mobb Deep.
Mm-hmm.
Illadelph by The Roots. Stakes Is High by I'm fucking about drawing a blank. Oh, it's De La.
De La.
De La Soul, Muddy Waters by
Redman,
mm-hmm. The Dirty by UGK, and The Coming by Busta Rhymes.
Yeah.
96 was
96 was crazy, but I think my number one from 96 is Reasonable Doubt.
Yeah, me too.
Because it has the most replay value for me.
It Was Written, yeah?
I think so, yeah. It Was Written is number two.
I enjoy both, but yeah, I put Reasonable Doubt as the most important rap album of 96, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It Was Written was great, though. And it was written so good.
Yeah. It Was Written aged so good that everybody went back and was like, wait a minute, maybe this is better than Illmatic. Mm-hmm. You know?
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. People do say that. But, yeah, man. Oh, there's an interview where Ghost says that, like, another reason why he doesn't like this album is because he was in such like a bad state that he knows that like he put his best foot forward to compete with anybody, mm-hmm. that released albums in 96.
Mm-hmm.
So like in his mind, when he gets the praise, he's like, yeah, but like I ain't like, he don't feel like he out rap niggas. Like he thinks he's nice, but he don't think that he like really like put his stamp and like really outshine the other albums that dropped in 96, which is pretty like self-aware and pretty cool.
It is very self-aware. I mean, he has a lot of moments on this album where he's outshined.
Yeah.
He has a lot of those. I mean, fucking, was it Capadonna on Winter Wars?
Oh, yeah.
That went crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's some joints on here. Like Master Killer, Inspector Deck almost always really outshines a lot of them. But this intro, so Iron Maiden, Raekwon, Capadonna kicks it off. Production is incredible. I think they both outshined him on this too.
Yeah, they did. The opening of the album, right? The dialogue is from this, like, and it's placed throughout the entire album. It's from this movie. It's a black exploitation film, and it's called The Education of Sonny Carson.
Mm-hmm.
So it opens with that, and I was like wondering, I'm like, why the fuck is this like such like a why this movie, like, of all the black exploitation movies? And you know, it's basically a coming of age film about a kid navigating like the ghetto and like basically getting an education in school and in the streets.
Okay.
So that's really cool.
Hmm.
Did you talk about the sample flips?
No.
Okay, so there's two samples on this one. It's the Al Green sample from Gotta Find a New World and Strong as Death, Sweet as Love. Those are the two Al Green samples that are at this project. And it's just like RZA, I know RZA says he ain't do no drugs, but I just feel like you should have to be on some kind of drugs
brain
to just go there. Also, think about this, right? Like they made a lot of this album, like, you know, they did Crate Digging and everything like that. But music had to be played so much in his household for him to like have that like mental, like that's like kind of genius level to me.
Mm-hmm.
To like be like, yo, remember that Al Green song that mom used to play? Like something like that. I'd be like, yo, there was like one part where the drum was dope. I want to use that drum for the bass line.
Yeah.
I use that for the riff. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Does RZA have any siblings?
Yeah, he does. He has a sister who's Ghostface Killah's baby mother.
Okay.
And then he has his brother, and his brother's name is Divine.
Okay.
Because you know they have like names for pops and nation shit. So like he has his brother Divine. I think he has like other siblings as well, but like the ones that I know like for a fact is Ghostface Killah's baby mother and his brother Divine, who used to be their manager. But a lot of the Wu-Tang members hate him. Cause like Divine like had like a they had like a very like set they had a very set thing that they wanted to do as far as like money wise and like album releases, and the members just didn't trust him. And they was like, yo, like we splitting this shit 9 ways, and like we got somebody like Nas who's fucking taking $1 million home by himself. So they just didn't. They didn't trust Divine. Like they had made promises to give like a certain amount of money to put back in the Wu-Tang.
Mm-hmm.
Own it. Like there's a lot of shit that they were supposed to do. They just didn't get to because it's like, how can you? It's non-personality.
Yeah, which is wild.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else is on here? Oh, well, Wildflower. Yeah, Wildflower is crazy. Yes. So he's basically talking about this woman cheating on him while he's out on tour. But the way that he tells the story, like, I want Ghostface to like be writing screenplays or some shit.
It's very funny.
It's super vivid.
All he did was talk about how good he fucked her.
Yeah, he talked about how good he fucked her, but then he's like, yo, you gave my pussy away, that shit hurt while I was away and I was on tour and shit and I was working and you was over here fucking around on me. But it's still so like the way he tells stories, and it's like not like the most complex, but it's like the way that he's able to like
he tells stories the exact way I think a hood nigga would.
Yeah, and rap.
Yeah,
you know, like that. I think that's what the appeal of it is. That shit is dope.
No, it's great. So at the beginning we got I got samples of all of them shits.
Okay.
JD's Revenge. Is JD's Revenge. JD's Revenge is the sample from the beginning. And then let's see. And then we got Otis Redding's The Chains Gonna Come as the other sample. And I'm just like, damn, how did he hear that? And
like, how do you put both of those in this?
Yes. Like, yeah. It's just one of those interesting things. But yeah, like, oh, so on Wildflower, like, you know, he just basically saying like, yeah, like, you know, you ain't follow none of the teachings of the 5% nation that I taught you was.
Mm-hmm. That was my headphones.
Okay. Yeah. So he was like, you know, like he was like, so you lost out here in the world. Like, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They talking they gods of earth shit. But like, it's just, it's a very interesting breakup song. He's very good at, he's very good at getting broken up with. He's very good.
Yeah, he is. He is.
Okay. Like, that's kind of like his MO too. Like the nigga that gets cheated, the hood nigga that gets cheated.
That gets cheated on.
I think that's really funny.
I want to get to 260.
To 260?
Yeah. But I don't want to ignore Faster Blade because that's the one that Raekwon goes solo on.
Okay.
And that's a big moment. Like, because it's like you said, like earlier before where Ghost just wasn't that confident and shit.
He wasn't that confident. And like, he just like, but imagine that though. Like, imagine like you making your album, right? And like your man's delivers his verse and you just like, you know what, son?
That's your song now.
That's just you, son.
Mm-hmm.
like going to the label, like, yeah, so wait a second. So you're not on this song at all? Nah, my man's out rap the fuck out.
Yeah. Which is probably unheard of back then, because it's like, yo, if it's your album, it's your album.
Yeah.
But back then, they was doing really unconventional shit. Like, Only Built for Cuban Links, you know, is not just Ray on the cover, you know. This shit is not just him on the cover. It's two other niggas with him on the cover, and it's his album. So it's like, shit like that just wasn't happening.
And wrestling, they do that for wrestlers that are, like, less talented. So, like, let's say, like, if you see a wrestler in a tag match, like, take somebody like Goldberg. Like, Goldberg, like, he's all offense. He's great. He comes out, does think he's strong. But if you want, like, to see, like, a long match, it has to be a tag match for him so he can, like, not get blown up or get winded, as they call it, and be able to finish the match and, like, actually, like, tell a story, like, where, like, makes sense, opposed to him just coming out and, like, just, like, charging at the dude and, like, pinning him in 3 seconds.
Which is what he used to do.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, you know, eventually people caught on, and that's why, like, they had to put him in tag matches with, like, really good wrestlers mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
Yeah, I used to like Goldberg's gimmick.
Yeah, we all, like, I mean, his gimmick was great. It just, like, Goldberg, it just was, like, all right, bro, like, you're not putting on good matches.
Yeah.
Like, if you care about that shit, like, that's really going to...
Just popping up.
Yeah.
Knocking niggas over, pinning them, and then leaving.
Yeah,
like... It's like, all right, bro.
Talking about his interest... His interest was longer than some of his matches.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so 260. 260 is a... It's, like, crazy story. 260 is, I think, the apartment number for the building in Long Island. Mm-hmm. That they went to go do a robbery.
Yep.
And then the storytelling is just Chef Kiss. Like, I love the part where he goes, I shot him in the neck, it ricocheted and hit Caroline. Like, I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, this is when he walks in the fucking apartment to go do a drug bust and it goes wrong toward the end. But it's so vivid. And it's so quick, but you get so much out of it in, like, less than 3 minutes.
Yeah, and it's funny because they use a lot of, like, 5% terminology.
Yeah.
And it's like, a wacky story. And, like, I'm shocked that, like, Irv Gotti didn't try to, like, turn this into a real story for, like, that show Tales that he had.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
there's a lot of those moments that Ghostface has that should be turned into that.
Right. And let's see what the sample is on this one. Al Green, You Ought to Be With Me. And... for the opening, another The Education of Sonny Carson.
Oh, okay. And then let's see. Oh, Assassination Day. Another song that doesn't feature Ghostface, but Master Killer's on it, Inspector Deck, RZA, and Raekwon.
Master Killer shined on this shit.
Yeah, he did.
Master Killer shined, and I always get sad for Master Killer because his album was one of the albums that got caught up in that flood.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, I feel like it sucks because there's Wu-Tang members that careers probably would have, like, flourished if that flood didn't happen. And if they ever got to come out, like, there's, like, I want to say it was on the Inspector Deck or Master Killer. I can't remember, but, like, they put out their debut album in, like, 2000.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, think about
that. Was just,
that sucks.
You said Master Killer or who?
Or Inspector Deck.
I think it was Inspector Deck.
Like,
they
put out their debut project, mm-hmm. like, that late. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they missed the whole wave of, like, Wu-Tang Pandemonium.
Yeah.
If them niggas was on No Limit, all of them would have had albums come out within 6 weeks.
Within weeks, yeah. Yeah.
Like, I get it that, like, RZA was, like, really meticulous and, like, they had, like, a plan. But like, I really do think that it's sad that all nine members didn't get to put out like their debut project on the time frame that they wanted to, because like they had to like sacrifice. And I think that's why like some, like somebody like you got is like very bitter.
Yeah.
Because like, you know, he always shined and knew what he could do, but like we never got to see like in that moment, because
you got always had great verses.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Like, think about this, right? A lot of them got to make these projects in their early 20s, right? Mm-hmm. So by the time they got older, like they had a different perspective, but we didn't get the perspective from all of them when they were in their early, when they were younger.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's and when it would have probably had more of an impact.
Yeah. Like, cause you got to think as they got older, they probably like changed like a lot. So, all these men like changed like a lot, and like certain things just passed them by, like that moment kind of passed by them, whatever like that. No, that was cool. Well, not cool, but like kind of fucked up and sad. Like, it just sucks. That, because it's like every member in Wu-Tang is really good at rapping.
Yeah. They all share that, for sure.
And this name is like very like fitting for Master Killer, because like they said that about him. Like, because if I'm not mistaken, they say that Master Killer has the best verse on 36 Chambers, period.
Was it Master Killer that they said that about? Which verse was it?
Can It Be All So Simple?
Yeah, that is... Okay. I will have to go back and listen to that one.
Should be dope.
Let's see. Elsewhere, we got Method Man. He pops up.
Yes, he does.
On Box in Hand.
Yeah. So the funny thing about that, right? If you have the original version, it's called Box in Hand. But they changed the name to... To Woo Will Survive.
Yeah.
So I don't know what made them change it. I don't know why they switched it up, but it's like, so some people will be like, yo, I love boxing. You'd be like, I never heard of that song. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, oh, and he'd be like, oh, is Woo Will Survive. And it's pretty interesting because, you know, like they do a rendition of the Jackson 5's Never Can Say Goodbye. Mm-hmm. Pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like, I mean, that still's a show.
Yeah, he does. Man. Meth has a very unique legacy, because it's like now there's a whole era. Like, I could probably ask my little cousin if he knows Method Man, and he's like, yeah, he'll probably say that's the guy from Power.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Or How High. Mm-hmm. You know, like when they watched it. But Method Man, I think, has one of like the most like it's funny because he definitely reached like really high highs with his career. But like, when we were younger, I thought he was going to be like the biggest thing.
I thought so too. Biggie's album. He worked with Pac, right?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. I think he just made like a lot of sacrifices as far as like trying to like, you know, help other Wu-Tang members and things like that, and like being like a good soldier for the team. And like, I think if he was more selfish, I think he would definitely be like way bigger out.
Yeah. I think what goes into account is that he didn't really have a great album.
Takao? Yeah, I remember somebody trying to tell me that Takao was a classic, and I was like, have you listened to that album? Yeah.
I think that's what kind of tarnished his legacy as a rapper a little bit. Like, he didn't have that album, because he already had the hype, but he didn't have that one.
Yeah, he didn't. On Winter Wars, what's interesting is that this was on the Don't Be a Menace to South Central White Drinking Your Juice in the Hood soundtrack, which is funny because it's like you hear that now, you'd be like, that don't help like a single or whatever like that. But like back then, like getting placement on a soundtrack was a huge deal. So like so many
soundtracks were just a bigger deal.
Yeah. And I wish soundtracks could be a big deal again. I think Metro's working on that right now. What he did with Spider-Verse is pretty cool.
Yeah. But I think that's true. I don't know. It just doesn't have the same effect for me. Like when I listen to an album, it all just feels thrown together when it's a soundtrack now. Like it doesn't.
I get what you're saying. I mean, yeah. Black Panther soundtrack, they're good.
Yeah, that was amazing.
They good. I mean, sometimes they'll get it right. I just think that like right now, it don't feel like something that like we gotta like hear or like whatever like that. But Capadonna has the best verse on this one. And Capadonna is an interesting person to me because like he was one of the homies, but like he wasn't like in the nine original nine of Wu-Tang.
Yeah.
And that was like always like really funny to me, because like basically like he was just supposed to be like a signee of the Wu-Tang clan. So he was like signed to like all like technically, but no, like eventually he became like a member in the crew, and like he jumped mad people because he put out his debut project before a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. I watched the interview with It was Master Killer and it was, excuse me, it was Master Killer and Rosenberg. Rosenberg was talking about Winter Wars, and he was like, yo, like Cappadonna, yes, Cappadonna has the best verse on this song, to the point where even when we perform this song, he just does his verse. Like, that's it.
And apparently it's a freestyle.
Yeah. And he freestyled it. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That is crazy. I mean, I don't know. Like, that's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what the sample is on this. I think I'll do it by ZZ Hill and the Midnight Theme by Monxell. But yeah, that's interesting. And we got to get to Poisonous Darts.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
So there's two samples by Annie Peoples on there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's dialogue from The Mystery of Chess Boxing, which is a Kung Fu movie. Ghostface definitely, like, shines on this one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because, like, they call their darts their verses, like, their lyrics and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's being called Poisonous Darts.
He killed this.
Yeah.
He said, I don't eat meat. I slap blood out of Purdue. I was like, yeah, that's it. I fuck with that word.
Like, I think, like, if I had to, like, explain to somebody, like, why Ghost is one of the greatest rappers of all time, I think this verse from Poisonous Darts.
This is a really good verse. All of them really,
yeah.
All of them went in on this verse. Oh, I mean, on this song. What else? Oh, Kameh. I like Kameh.
Okay. This is the opposite of Wildflower.
Yes. Yeah.
Nice to Women.
A little more delicate.
Yeah.
You know? Cap said, your hair do way more class than Halle Berry. Caught visions of me and you riding the ferry. It's like just hood nigga romance.
Hood nigga telling. We got the Teddy Pendergrass, Can We Try sample on there. The South Side Movement is on there. And Jacquez
mm-hmm.
Brel. I can't even pronounce, like, because it's in French for the hook. I can't even pronounce what the fuck that shit says. But yeah, like, they... all three of them, like, definitely, like, came and, like, showed and proved.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I want to say how impressive, like, Raekwon is on this project. Like, it seems like Raekwon is just always ready.
Yeah, he is.
Like, he's always ready to just go in there and do what he got to do.
The chef.
Yeah, like, he's cooking.
I feel like he really just be having verses just already there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just ask him to spit, and he has one that'll go with whatever it is that you got.
Right. And then, let's see. So, we got Fish.
Mm-hmm.
As Otis Redding's and Chains Gonna Come. This is the second time on the album that A Chains Gonna Come is used, which is pretty interesting. And then they have dialogue from the movie Crime Inc. And then they also have dialogue from the TV show Crime Freedom. And, you know, Fish obviously is a metaphor for cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that's pretty cool, like, how, like, they use that term and, like, talk about selling drugs.
That nigga said, we eat fish, toss salads, and rap ballads.
Yeah. Like, yeah, like, it's fucking funny as hell.
Elsewhere, we can't talk about this album without talking about After the Smoke Is Clear with the Delphonics. Is it Delphonics? Yeah, it is Delphonics. Yeah. Which we know from the Drink Champs,
the Jake Champs
episode, that they recorded this after he got Delphonics involved in the shootout.
Which is funny because he said that them niggas had guns too.
Yeah,
that's funny.
Crazy.
That's crazy because you got to think, like, you just assume, like, yo, I ruined everything.
Yeah,
niggas is about to run for the hills, and they was like, nah, it's all good.
Yeah, and they went and recorded a song after that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And this song samples Jimmy Ruffin's, the brother of David Ruffin,
mm-hmm.
What Becomes of a Broken Hearted Man. So,
man,
you know, like, that song is like, that song is an amazing song. And Jimmy Ruffin definitely doesn't get the flowers that he deserves.
No, he doesn't.
It's fucking amazing.
Nobody mentions Jimmy Ruffin. All That I Got Is You. We already kind of spoke right. about that.
Another Jackson 5 sample.
Yeah.
For maybe tomorrow. And then at the beginning, another The Education of Sonny Carson Sam.
Yeah.
Jail Scene.
Yeah.
All I Got Is You, a beautiful song.
Mm-hmm.
I think is one of the most, like, heartfelt, beautiful rap songs.
That shit can definitely bring tears to your eyes.
Yeah.
If it's a hip hop song that you're looking for, that you want to kind of inflict some type of emotion for you, like, I think this is one. This is one of those.
I think if that song doesn't, then, like, you just... maybe you just heartless.
For that reason, I avoid this song sometimes.
Damn.
Like, I can't listen to this song right now. Like, it'll just take you there. And then there's, oh yeah, Motherless Child we talked about. That one was on the South Sunset Park soundtrack.
Yes.
Yeah. Man, soundtracks was just.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, think about it. Like, there's songs that are on, that were on soundtrack, and you're just like, really? Like, what? Like, I guess now promo is just like playlists. Like, if you get placement on a playlist, like, that's a big deal.
But yeah.
Like, they're like, movie soundtracks is what mattered.
Yeah.
Let's see. Soul Controller is pretty dope because the Force MD is on there, and I love the Force MDs because they're those big muscular dudes from
Party. Oh yeah, and Soul Controller is was removed from the album.
Right.
It's not even on. I don't think it's on streaming.
Yeah,
it was removed because of sampling, sample clearance issues.
Yeah, because there's a Sam Cooke and James Gone Come sample on there, and Doyle's remembering.
So if you're watching this or listening, it would supposedly follow All That I Got Is You, but in the version that's on streaming, it's the last track, Marvel. That follows.
I had the original CD, so I just still have it on my hard drive, so I still can listen.
Yeah,
but you can go on YouTube. I'm pretty sure it's on YouTube.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. You can find it. But yeah, this thing closes. I mean, what else you want to talk about? Black Jesus.
Talk about Black Jesus.
Yeah, because
the war on there.
You got floated on there.
Yeah, he did.
You know,
they got Tom Jones as a sample on here. And the Lego, my ego jingles on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I discovered that when I went back listening to this.
Right.
And they had the link to it. Yeah.
That's cool. I think you guys had the best version of Black Jesus.
I think so too.
Oh, we can't wrap this up without talking about Daytona 500.
Oh yeah. Body.
Yeah.
It's an album highlight.
Did you know okay. So there's a song sample on here by Bob James. It's called, Natalia's is one of the most sample songs of hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
Rick's A Children's Story samples it. Follow the Leader by Caribbean and Rakim sample it. Throw Your Guns by Onyx. Clap Your Hands by Tribe Called Quest. Freddie Gibbs, Extradite, and Main Source's Live at the Barbecue all have sampled that song.
Damn. Yeah, no, I didn't know that. Well, I knew that it was one of the most sampled. I just didn't know which ones.
Yeah. So, like, that's pretty dope. I definitely feel like Ray shined the most on Daytona 500 for me.
Mm.
That's, you know, it's just, like, Raekwon, like, really, like, was on a run. And it makes me wonder, like, I wonder because, like, they were in a group or, like, because, like, you know, he was featured on Ghost's album and Ghost was featured on his album. I wonder why Raekwon was never, like, in the argument as one of the greatest rappers of all. Like the you know.
I don't think they, because I don't. Well, one of the greatest rappers of what? Like, just the time?
Yeah.
I think it probably has something to do with them not standing out on their own. Like how, I mean, they stood out on their own, but they still shared a lot of their moments.
Right, yeah. That's what, like, I think that's it. Like, they were so selfless for each other to be successful. But, like, Raekwon, like, 95, from 94 to 96, Raekwon is one of the most consistent rappers, period.
Yeah, yeah. And he's still consistent.
Yeah.
Like, if you need a verse from Ray, he will show up.
Yeah.
Like, he shows up.
Right.
But I think that's probably just what it boils down to. He shares a lot of his moments.
Okay.
And highlights.
So, we're going to get to Marble, right?
Yeah.
Marble.
Such a good closer.
So,
lets that beat just...
The M in Marble is the 13th letter in the alphabet. 1 + 3 = 4. 4... And mathematics and supreme mathematics represents culture and freedom.
Let me get my tinfoil hat.
Yeah, man. The song is basically warning you to stay away from the 85% who are under the grasp of the 10%. The 5% are the poor, righteous teachers and poets that are here to supply knowledge and understanding.
Mm. Okay. That's the RZA.
Yeah, man.
That's the shit. That's his shit.
At the 5% nation.
Yeah.
They know everything.
Man. That's his shit he be on.
Yeah,
but sometimes, like, RZA be in his bag when he be rapping, but then it's sometimes where it's such a odd thing too, because he makes the beats, but he be rapping like he don't know, he don't hear the beat.
Oh yeah. RZA definitely, I think, doesn't get the credit for that offbeat rapping shit.
Yeah. Yeah, no, because I don't know. The way that he's doing it is like, he's not acknowledging the beat at all. Like, he just rapping.
Do you think that, because some rappers rap to the beat, like Jay-Z, but then I think that the RZA just writes his verses.
Yeah. And he don't write it to the beat.
Yeah. I feel like, well, like, he might have, like, an outline of what he's writing to, and then, like, he's like, all right, like, let's...
Yeah, I'm gonna go with this.
Yeah.
But I do like the later half of his verse where he just lets the beat ride out, because it's a really beautiful beat. All through.
You gotta stay away from these Harlots and Jezebels, man.
You know, that is the main lesson, ladies and gentlemen.
That is the main lesson.
What is your rating? You want to get to that?
Okay, so I have a question.
Yeah.
Why is this called a solo album? It's not. It has a feature on almost every song. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, do you think less of the artist when they have this, like, you know, sometimes, like, we'd be like, yo, why all these features? But this project, because it says featuring the other artists, does that make a difference? Or, like, does that make it harder for you?
I think when it says featuring, like, you're talking about, like, an overall packaging of it, like,
yeah.
Featuring.
Yeah.
I think it makes it more digestible in the sense that, like, it's their presentation.
The presentation.
Like, this is my presentation featuring these people.
Okay.
Well, welcome to this show.
So it doesn't make it, like, less special for you, right?
Nah.
Okay.
Nah.
So for me, with this project, I definitely hold it in high regard. I give it 4.5 out of 5 waffles because he's missing on 2 songs, and knowing that he also doesn't agree that this is his best project. And we saw him at his best on Supreme Clientele.
Mm-hmm. Clientele.
On Supreme Clientele.
Mm-hmm.
Great. But yeah, so I see the ELE and I just want to say Tele. But yeah, his sophomore project is better than his debut project.
Absolutely.
So I consider that project his classic.
So yeah.
I can't say that this one is a perk. Like, it's a great album.
It's a good album.
Like, I just think it should have just been presented as Ghostface, Raekwon, and Capadonna.
Yeah.
Like, it should have been presented that way, in my opinion. But, you know, to each his own, I understand Ghost was in a very dark place at this mm-hmm. time, and his brothers held him up, and they did a great job.
I definitely think the intent going into it was, hey, Ghost, we need your solo album. And that's what it was. And they kind of just stuck with that regardless of how it turned out with all these features.
Right.
So in that line of consideration, I just leave it at that. But I will also give this a 4. Did you say 4.5?
4.5.
I'm going to give it a 4. I give it a 4 because I do like what I got here. But also a lot of it is I just wanted more Ghosts. Like, I wanted more in-depth shit. But, like, I'm happy with what I got, but judging on what I got later from him,
right,
that takes it off for me.
It's like we have the example of what he did.
And yeah.
Like, damn, Tony Starks,
mm-hmm.
you know?
It's like, but he learned from this to give us that. So I will give him that. And they really pulled together to make a really good album.
But yeah, I'll be honest with you, that's like a very intriguing thing to me. Like, when an artist is in, like, a dark place in their record project,
mm-hmm.
because for them, it's kind of like, yo, I wasn't in a good place, but, like, people love it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there are people that come up to Ghostface and be like, yo, that album got me through so much. Or mm-hmm. like, that album is so enjoyable. It's one of my favorite albums. And he's like, I'm not the person, like, thank you. But I hate that shit.
Yeah. Imagine how Eminem must feel. Like, he's sober now.
Shit.
And all the shit that he did when he wasn't sober, people like. And all the shit he did when he's sober, people hate.
And he doesn't remember that shit.
Mm-hmm. He must be questioning shit every day.
Like, the fact that he doesn't remember being at the BET Awards is not funny.
Yeah. So, like, and that's when he was putting out his best shit. So it's like, yo, damn. In a way, like, the audience, like, we kind of be fuming their vices a little bit. Because it's like, damn, like, when Wayne, like, niggas is like, no, Wayne better not put that cup down. And it's like,
God damn,
bruh. Like, what? But no, I definitely give this album a 4. I would say for you guys to definitely check it out. Let us know what you think. I'm First Class Reg.
And I'm Torian B.
We're out of here.
Catch you guys next time. Done.